knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
Sup.
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, I struggled with this. Mm-hmm. I went up and down on it, and I think a big part of it is because I struggle with being into things that are too popular.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I wish that I had tastes that were like... You know, just I found this niche,
right.
Under like no one's ever heard of this thing before,
right.
But I got recommended a video on YouTube. I don't know how it just popped up, and it was of these dudes dropping something from a really high height and watching it fall,
fantastic,
and then hit the ground.
I love it,
and I got really hooked.
It's hard not to see something beautiful in something falling.
Yeah, and it's a channel called How Ridiculous, and they're like dudes from Australia,
sure,
and. They have millions of views on their videos. It's like, I don't know how this didn't come to my attention, but I didn't know that there were these people getting millions of views dropping things from a high height.
We don't know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many fractures. Like, I read
there's
something
There's many
earlier.
Fractures as there are in the bulletproof glass
exactly.
when they drop something on it from 45 meters in the air.
No, I read that, like, the viewership for CNN is, like, 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knows CNN, but 700,000 is fucking nobody.
Yeah.
So it's like, of course you know CNN, and it's only watched by 700,000 people, but these fuckers are in YouTube somewhere.
CNN is on 24 hours a day.
That's true.
And it would be tough to tell how much viewership there would be of guys who drop things from really high.
If it was a 24-hour news network.
or even if it was just appointment television. Like... It's tough to say what kind of ratings it would get if it wasn't something you could just click and watch.
God.
And then watch more and then watch more.
If you had given that to me when I was high at 14, that would be all my friends and I did.
It would change your life.
No, it would have changed everything. Like 20 years ago.
It could have, yeah, it would have been. I described it to you kind of as like, it feels a little bit like Jackass, but without the meanness.
There's
nobody getting hurt.
Fantastic.
And but I struggle with how like it's... A very popular thing that a lot of people know about. And I just heard about it. I'm like, this is great.
Everything on TikTok is a popular thing that none of us have heard of.
That is true. That is true.
You know.
Yeah. That whole world.
Yeah.
Never shall I. Even if people tell me that people are dropping things from really high up on TikTok, I'm still not going to check it out.
Nope.
Anyway, what about you? What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is I brought you some. I made maybe the best batch of Chex Mix that I've ever made in my entire life. It's fantastic. I only cook two things at a professional level, and that's potatoes and Chex Mix. Those are the only two things.
I think you should add a third thing in there.
What's that?
Ham. The ham steak. Me and Angela Lansbury can definitely vouch for that.
It's not bad.
Great ham.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
but this was an especially good batch.
What about that air fried chicken?
Yeah, no, that one wasn't. That wasn't how it was going to go. No.
That's not on the list.
The deep fried chicken was even worse.
I think you eventually got that one together, right?
I did.
Started bad.
The attempt at deep fried kale, that went real wrong.
I thankfully was not there for that.
Yeah. No, didn't dry it out enough. Real problem if you don't do that.
I'm excited to try this Chex Mix.
It's real good.
I unfortunately did not have any before the show, so I can't vouch for you. But
don't worry
this
about
is a cliffhanger.
It is.
We'll find out on the next episode.
If your bright spot is on the next episode of the Chex Mix,
Well, now if it's not, it's going to feel spiteful.
Everybody's going to know.
We'll see if I even remember by the time we record the next episode.
Fair point.
So, Jordan, today we're going to be talking about December 9th, 2021 Blackjack.
Oh, God, I was awful.
Yep. We're in the present day. This is Thursday of the week that was last. The last time we had a week, yes. It was the Thursday of it.
Yes.
And there's kind of a specific reason that I decided to choose this episode.
Okay.
And spoiler alert, it's because Alex is a little bit mad at a certain point about a Vice article that I was interviewed for.
Yes, fantastic.
So
fantastic.
I wanted to see how he responded to some of that stuff. And, you know, we'll find out what else he has to say along
the way. I'm interested.
Before we get into this episode, though, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks out
there. Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, False Flag Football. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Simon. Damn it, Barnes. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Barnes.
Thank you. Next, Shawnee Dogman Hudson. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, Spotify Wrapped said I worship at the altar of Celine. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Blizzard the Lizard Wizard loves Serena. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. So, Jordan, we start off here on Thursday.
Okay.
With Alex talking pretty extreme.
Sure.
But he also wants to remind you, he didn't always talk like this.
Yeah.
He didn't always talk so extreme.
No.
This
is different back when.
The world is being artificially put into a cascade of crises that will lead to the accelerated controlled collapse and the mass death of billions upon billions of people.
Sure.
Folks would tune into the broadcast 25 years ago and think that when I made these type of predictions off in the future, I said 25, 30 years from now.
No, you didn't.
They will be organizing the collapse of civilization and the great culling. And it sounded a bit fanciful back then, even though I was reading from source documents. Well, now it doesn't seem too fanciful anymore, does it? We're here.
That kind of talk I never really would think I would describe as fanciful.
Mm.
That's not the term I would use.
Mm-mm.
But this is a really sad attempt on Alex's part to misrepresent how he carried himself in his earlier career. He's pretending that in the present day, he's saying that the end is right in front of our faces. But 20 years ago, he would say that the end was coming in 20 years. Which, I mean, it's almost like he's totally right about everything.
It's just a complete vindication of everything he's ever believed. Right, Dan?
This is total horseshit.
Yeah.
In his earlier career, Alex was very similar to how he is now, but he would just say that the globalists were 10 years behind in their plans or whatever when his predictions didn't come to pass. He didn't say that in 20 years shit would be going down. He was saying that disaster was coming imminently. Pretty consistently. I could go through many examples of this, how over the years it was just consistent pattern, but because it's more fun this way, here's a clip of him from May 5th, 1998, where he predicts that within 2 years there would be complete martial law with hit teams roaming the streets.
2 years, you will have a massive crash in this country. You will have a massive criminal consolidation of wealth. You will have a police state. People will be rounded up wholesale. You'll barely hear about it on the news. You will have successive bombings, successive explosions. You will have FBI agents coming out being killed. The government will tell you they're traitors. You'll have CIA people being killed, DEA people being killed, local sheriffs being killed, being imprisoned. You'll have hit squads running all over the nation, killing people. Get ready.
That didn't happen? Didn't come to pass.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Alex never predicted that collapses were coming 20 years down the line because that's not good for business. One of Alex's most essential tools in terms of fucking with his audience is creating the sense of emergency, where the information he's yelling about is the most important thing right now. And that sensation is lost when you're trying to make someone scared of something that's supposed to happen in 2 decades. The difference between Alex's earlier career and now is that we're currently in the middle of a protracted societal challenge in the form of COVID, and it's something that fits very perfectly into his strategy of making people scared of how the end is right around the corner. He's smart enough to know that his fear-mongering and doomsday shit sounds way less convincing if people realize he's been doing the exact same thing for years, and the way around that is to pretend that all along he's been saying that this big thing was coming a ways off in the future,
yeah.
Which would coincide with him saying now that, oh, the end is here.
Yeah.
The end is here. Like I said, it was going to be here in 20 years ago.
It'd be a little bit like if Nostradamus' writings were actually, like, he said all of that stuff was going to happen tomorrow, and then when it didn't, he was like, actually, it's going to be 1,000 years from now.
Mm.
Huh? How about that?
Nostradamus would be way less revered if he had a long-winded radio show. Where he had to cover way too much time.
Yeah, and it would be rhyming, and that's no fun.
Actually, I would like Alex to try.
To try rhyming?
Yes. I think it would make things a little interesting.
Get a Beastie Boy right next to him to really hammer home the... Yeah, mm-hmm. I like it.
So Alex's studio is a little ominous. It's looking a little bit spooky today, and he describes why in this clip.
If you're a TV viewer, you see the image we have behind us of the U.S. Capitol occupied by the globalist with a red storm in the background with lightning. That's about the best way I can describe the true evil that has control of our government at almost every level. We are the bad guys. We have been captured. Because we were the good guys, we became the most powerful, wealthy, loved nation in the world. Still had incredible problems, but because we had a Christian, but also rugged, Western, Renaissance bearing,
what?
We were the freest, greatest, most productive nation on earth. Evil came, took over, and now we have become a slave of the New World Order, and the wages of sin are death.
Uh-oh. So what is, like, if that feels just like Christian nationalism poking its little head up again. Because, I mean, like, it's got to be that the thing that went bad was the country's not Christian anymore.
Yeah.
We're
allowed to have sex outside of marriage.
Because I don't feel like it's that we're not rugged enough. Right? That's not the complaint Alex is making. Oh, he might make that complaint.
I mean, you know, there's not much rugged about going to the grocery store when you're hungry. Mm-hmm. I will admit that, you know.
Instead of going out and shooting a bison?
Yeah, I have yet to push a herd of bison over a cliff in order to ensure my sustenance for the following winter.
It is less rugged.
Yeah.
Certainly DoorDash.
It really struggles with ruggedness.
Less rugged.
If the Unabomber is against it, it's probably less rugged than you would like.
Yeah, the government is captured because sort of Christian-oriented policies aren't what is law.
That's
a problem for Alex.
No, the laws of Deuteronomy should probably run most adult nations.
Although I don't think Alex would particularly like it if that kind of like theocratic state were actually enacted.
Oh, my tattoos would be a real problem.
Well, no, I mean, he wouldn't like it.
Oh, no, they'd
would
really
he
be
like
pissed.
It if Austin was a dry county?
Ooh.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Well, let's see how Prohibition did first.
Mm. So Alex has some weird ideas on this episode, and here's one of them. Like, there's a number of things that just even feel like stray thoughts
mm-hmm.
that are bigoted in nature, but also seem disconnected from anything else he's talking about.
And that's why you see them letting murderers out of jail and armed robbers out after a week or a day. Or this guy shoots four people at a school, he's released the next day because he's black. All of that is being done to totally undermine things and put you in a state of confusion so that you'll accept the new global currency, you'll accept the nighttime curfews, you'll accept having to have a pass on your phone to even leave your house. You will accept the Great Reset.
I'm confused.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So all of the bad that's being done
mm-hmm.
is to confuse me
well,
into being like, I'm going to use the euro.
A guy who shot people at a school
right.
was released on bail.
Holy shit, I better use the euro.
Right. I must get involved with the Great Reset because this guy got a bond.
Yeah. So
the
armed robber got out of prison on mm-hmm. bail.
Yeah.
So now I am going to be fine with vaccines killing.
Well, but it's also that this person got released from jail because they were black.
Ooh,
which is
no.
just Alex's racism.
I am going to need a vaccine after you told me that.
So the other cases that he's talking about, like an armed robber or murderer, I have no idea what he's talking about.
Of course
but
not.
The school shooting incident
yes.
is clear.
Yeah.
This is about Timothy Simpkins, an 18-year-old student at a high school in Arlington, Texas. He's accused of injuring four people, including one teacher, in a shooting. He was released on a $75,000 bond and is currently under house arrest and wearing a GPS monitor. Simpkins wasn't released because he's black, and he's still going to be tried and most likely get into a bit of trouble. One of the reasons he was probably released on bond is because no one was killed. Also, there have been some strong indications that he was acting in what his family has called self-defense. According to a relative, Simpkins had been robbed multiple times by bullies at school, and the theory is that he was the target for that kind of thing because he came from a well-off family. None of this justifies shooting people, but it does factor into whether or not you would think it was a risk to send someone out on bond. But Alex sees this story, and the only relevant detail is that Simpkins is black, so that must be why he's out on bond. It's really tough to compare the circumstances of different school shootings to gauge how treatment varies among perpetrators for a number of reasons. There are factors like whether or not anyone was killed, what state it occurred in, and the specific context of the shooting that you really need to take into consideration if you want to compare case A to case B.
Sure.
I could go through a number of examples of people who've engaged in school shootings who are white and were allowed bail, but it doesn't really matter. Providing counterexamples to Alex's claim here doesn't mean anything, because Alex isn't even making this claim sincerely. He doesn't think that Simpkins was released because he's black, whereas he would have been held if he were white. That's not a serious point. It's just signaling to the racist audience that he has, creating the perception of white oppression for them to experience and get mad about,
yeah.
And I guess see as why everyone's joining the Euro.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just racism for racism's sake.
I mean, to a certain extent, there's at this point, it's like, if this is the only nation where this type of thing regularly happens or happens at all, then it's a complete structural issue.
Yep.
You know, so if you want to, if we want to get into the like weeds of should the child be punished with 10 years or tried as an adult, that's fine. But the reality is this is a complete structural issue before it's a personal responsibility issue.
Sure. And, you know? But to, more to the issue that Alex is specifically bringing up, though, the qualifications of when someone would be allowed bail after a shooting,
it
varies based on a number of circumstances,
just like any other crime.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't find Alex's case compelling because it's not meant to be.
No.
This is just racism.
It's verifying your already held prejudices.
So we get to talking a little bit here about those FDA documents that we talked about, I think, on the last episode.
Yes, and they were great.
This
did
gives
everything.
Alex a perfect example. To use a word that he loves, and that is tranche.
A tranche of files?
Yes.
Ah, I see.
So good.
And now they want 75 years. And if you're a new listener, this is not The Onion. If you're driving down the road hearing this, I'm not joking. This isn't satire. It's totally safe and effective, emergency authorization, and now that we've injected millions of people, and now we know what the real numbers are, we're not going to release them. But they did last week release a tranche, 30 pages, and it talked about thousands of dead in just the first weeks of the rollout.
Did
and
it?
Massive, just over the top increases in spontaneous abortions. That's what they call a miscarriage now. Everything the experts warned it would do.
We talked about the documents in detail on the last episode, so I'm not going to go over all that, but there are some other important points here. The 75 years thing is just another prediction of when the documents would be fully released at the same rate already discussed of 500 pages a month. The anti-vax media just refuses to accept that there's a massive difference between the FDA reviewing the science and documents it receives privately and the process required to then ethically and responsibly release those documents to the public. The first is an in-house scientific analysis, and the other is a legal, privacy-oriented analysis that obviously could take longer. The idea that they're pretending to not understand that very obvious dynamic is pretty clear evidence that they're not acting in good faith.
No.
That's just bullshit.
I mean, their argument is essentially, you should just turn over all of these documents so we can harass people with all of this information. Regardless of whether or not it proves our point, we will have names and personal information that we can fuck people up with.
I would think that it's less that, and it's more a fishing expedition for things that can be misrepresented.
Sure.
As has already happened with this first tranche of this 38-page document that Alex is... turned into the smoking gun.
Yeah, you're going to give them 300,000 pages so they can find three sentences to really hammer home for the rest of our fucking lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second point I want to make is that the FDA did request that they narrow down their FOIA request so it wouldn't be for over 300,000 documents, which would make the timeline much shorter so everyone could get the documents they want and the lawyers could make sure that they weren't releasing private information to the public. From everything I've read, it seems like the FDA is willing to prioritize whatever documents are most important. So ultimately, if this group really wanted to reach the goal that they're pretending they're looking towards working to, they could easily collaborate with the FDA to get what they want well before 75 years from now.
Okay.
They're just stupid.
Narrow down your FOIA request. We want the documents where you admit to killing everybody. I'm sorry those don't exist. Well, obviously they do.
Well,
give
in
us
that
all
case,
the documents.
We want everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
It's
going
to take forever. Aha, yeah. Cover up.
Ah, we tricked you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the third point I want to make is that Alex is claiming that now that the FDA has killed everyone, they won't release the documents. But then he immediately says that they did release the trash that includes what he's pretending is evidence of thousands of vaccine deaths. That's completely self-contradictory as a position. They refuse to release the documents, but also they release this document that's the smoking gun.
They're covering
it
up.
What are you talking about?
By giving me the smoking gun of what they've done.
In a tranche.
In a tranche.
Finally, I want to clarify what Alex is lying about as it relates to spontaneous abortions. There were 413 reports involving pregnant persons in the data set that they had, and of these, 23 were reporting spontaneous abortions, and 5 additional instances of different variations of spontaneous abortions, like ones with neonatal death or intrauterine death. Worst case scenario from these numbers is that there were 28 pregnancies that ended in spontaneous abortions among people who were vaccinated. This cannot prove that the spontaneous abortions were caused by the vaccine, so let's leave that aside for now and talk about what we can tell from this number. This would constitute approximately 7% of the pregnancies captured in the data ending in spontaneous abortion. This number sounds really high out of context, but you need to know what the rate of spontaneous abortion is in the general population if you want to get any kind of sense about whether this is within or outside the range of what you would expect in this number of people, with or without the vaccine. According to the Mayo Clinic, quote, about 10 to 20% of known pregnancies end in miscarriage. But the actual number is likely higher because many miscarriages occur very early in pregnancy before you might even know about a pregnancy.
So you might think you're just having a heavy period or something along those lines.
It's possible.
Yes.
The numbers captured in this FDA adverse events report actually reflect a much lower than expected rate of spontaneous abortion than you would expect to see in the general population. That's probably a function of incomplete information in the report about pregnancy outcomes, and from this data, you would have really no reason to suspect that the vaccine had any discernible outcome in terms of miscarriages. That's why this report concludes, quote, there were no safety signals that emerged from the review of these cases of use in pregnancy and breastfeeding.
What a great thing to write if you're covering up the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
Alex can take this number of reported spontaneous abortions of about 7%, and that's a lot if you expect that the number should be zero.
Right.
But that's not reality. He's creating a false problem by comparing these numbers to the wrong baseline, and that's because he's dumb and malevolent. Anyway, that's what's going on here when he yells about a bunch of spontaneous abortions in the document.
Yeah, that tracks. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
7% is lower by far than the estimated average.
It's 3% lower than the low range that's cited by the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we should probably know that offhand, but because it's about women, the society at large doesn't care that much. Unfortunately,
there are a lot of more dangers and you know difficulties of pregnancy than a lot of people recognize.
It does seem like that should be so obvious, though. If it is 10 to 20%, which obviously it is,
mm-hmm.
how is it that that is not so well known? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a significantly high amount for the number of people who it exists for, which is just about every fucking body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely, the fact that people don't know it is a handy tool for someone like Alex to be able to misrepresent the data that's in this document.
Totally.
So we got some news out of Japan about the vaccine.
Still going strong?
Japan Health Ministry warns Moderna and Pfizer COVID vaccine causing heart inflammation in young people, pulling it off the market. Wow. But, oh, they're not the UN, so I'm sure Facebook and Twitter will censor that. In fact, they are.
I could find a few articles that discuss the Japanese health ministry deciding to put a warning on the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that it could have possible serious side effects. And that's their prerogative. I can find no evidence that they're contemplating taking it off the market over this, though, and I strongly suspect that Alex is just making that up.
Yeah.
An article in the Japan Times does discuss how the health ministry may decide to recommend the Pfizer vaccine over the Moderna one because it appears that the possible risk is lower with Pfizer. But even so, the rates of myocarditis in people who get COVID is substantially higher than even the worst numbers you can find for the vaccine.
Sure.
That article cites Tetsuo Nakayama, the project professor at the Kitasato Institute for Life Sciences and the director of the Japanese Society of Cultural Virology, as saying, quote, the risk of myocarditis is much lower in people who got the Moderna vaccine than those experiencing a natural infection. So there is no reason to halt its use. That's kind of the vibe that is coming out of this story. You know, given a warning of a potential side effect that they haven't delineated as being causally linked, but...
Also, Japan is in the UN.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... Like, you can't say, well, oh, it's not the UN, so they're going to censor it. It's like, Japan's part of the UN.
But it's not coming from, like, the UN's head body or whatever.
Sure.
The World Health Organization.
Right.
That's more what he means, but I get what you're saying.
Right.
So we got also some news out of Israel.
Oh.
Health chief in Israel says at least 7 boosters to be fully vaxxed. Aha. Oh, my God. I told you it'll be 10 shots a year. How did I know? 21 months ago, Bill Gates, in a prospectus to his shareholders, said, this is the best business ever. I make 20 times the money back on what I do. And we're going to make people take at least 10 shots a year. And now they're up to 7. See how they just, oh, it's 1, oh, it's 2, oh, it's 3, oh, it's 4, oh, it's 5, oh, it's 6, oh, it's 7. And how did I know? People are like, Jones, how did he know again? He's right again. It's incredible. The Twitter's like, look, Jones said this. Here's clips of him saying it. How the hell did he know? My God, this man's incredibly smart.
I hate you so much.
First of all, that Bill Gates prospectus doesn't exist. Alex is just making that up. And if he's not, I would say that he's committing journalistic malpractice by not releasing it. It's absolutely not real. So Alex is just committing journalistic malpractice by making that shit up. I suspect that Alex started laughing while talking about that because on some level, he can't believe that he can get away with this level of bullshitting. As for the 7 boosters thing, that's misreporting on Alex's part as well. There was a Times of Israel article that Paul Joseph Watson covered poorly, and now Alex is covering Paul's shitty work even more sloppily.
Great.
The actual article is about the health minister, Nitzan Horowitz, discussing the possibility of a 4th dose in the country, which would be the 2nd booster. However, he says, quote, I don't know yet. If we see that the vaccine's efficacy drops after a certain amount of time, even after the booster, we could recommend a 4th dose. It's possible.
Mm.
So that's what the health minister is saying.
Right. Once again, measure. Obvious response of if bad, then yes.
The article also has a comment from Professor Arnon Afik, the deputy director of the Sheba Medical Center, who is of the belief that a 2nd booster was inevitable. Quote, whoever thinks that we won't have a 4th dose is simply mistaken, Afik told the Ynet news site. Quote, as long as there is still a pandemic in areas like Africa, which have low vaccination rates, there will be more and more variants. Afik said he hopes that such COVID mutations won't be as contagious and severe as the Delta variant. Quote, but it seems that we will need to take a 4th and 5th and 6th and 7th dose. Who knows how many? So that's where this quote is coming from.
Right.
In his coverage of the story, Alex is misidentifying the source of the comment, and he's also mischaracterizing what was said. If you just listened to Alex, you would think that a health official was saying that you needed at least 7 boosters to be considered fully vaccinated, which would be 9 shots. That's absolutely not what this article says. And once again, I'd like to remind Tucker that Alex is a shitty guide to reality.
Yep.
Nonsense.
Brutal.
Dumb shit.
Yeah, I mean, what else? What do you expect a fucking expert to say about this? Is just literally like, this is how shots work. We're in a pandemic. If you don't want to be in a pandemic, then guess what? This is how it works. It's not like us being like, oh, we're making it work like this. This is how we have to respond because of you dicks.
And you have this professor just saying that is of his sort of opinion of what we could be looking at.
Sure.
That is not somebody dictating government policy.
No.
Saying we definitely need 7 shots. And that's how Alex is reporting this.
I mean, imagine.
Stupid.
Imagine if this happened like however many years ago and somebody's like, listen, we're going to have yearly flu shots. Let's just face it. The flu is going to mutate every single fucking time we try and stop it. So we're going to have yearly flu shots. How would Alex have covered the moment that was introduced?
I'm certain that there were people who acted like Alex.
Totally.
It probably would have sounded very similar.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yet here we are fucking however many years later and everybody's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to happen every single time. There's a new disease that we create and turn into a fucking, oh God, I hate everybody.
So you should also know, if you hate everybody, you should hate our government. Because they're talking about preemptively nuking Russia. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yup.
That's a real scary thought.
I can sit here and just cover this piece of news, that piece of news. Oh, look, war with Russia. Oh, world leaders are saying, let's preemptively strike them with nukes. Oh, Evergrande collapse, $300 billion, clearly triggering a world financial crisis. Futures are already way down. But when you understand that it's being orchestrated, they're making it as bad as they possibly can and bragging about it and engaging in actions that will destroy civilization. And we're almost past the point of no return.
World leaders aren't talking about nuking Russia. This is just a comment that Republican Senator Roger Wicker said on Fox News. Discussing the situation in Ukraine and how Biden should respond, he said, quote, I would not rule out military action. Military action could mean we stand off with our ships in the Black Sea and we rain destruction on Russian military capability. I would not rule out American troops on the ground. You know, we don't rule out first-use nuclear action. We don't think it'll happen, but... For no reason whatsoever, I want to read to you from an email that Roger Wicker sent to his constituents in Mississippi 3 days after the 2020 election. Quote, President Trump's team reached out to me about the voting fraud that's going on in our country right now. There's no, capital N-O, no excuse for any of this. Americans should be confident that their ballot was submitted correctly, legally, and untampered. He would go on to vote to certify the election, that's great, but not before he played his role in whipping up the distrust and paranoia that led to January 6th.
Well, so, sure.
Hurrah.
Sure.
First of all, Wicker is not what you would call a world leader. He was just talking shit on Fox News. Second, he's a Trump guy. If Alex wanted to report this story accurately, he would be saying that one of the senators who kissed Trump's ring now wants Biden to consider attacking Russia. That's more accurate.
I mean, it would be very similar to him saying something like, remember how pissed off I was whenever Trump dropped that bomb in Syria and I cried and said he can go fuck himself forever and all of that stuff?
I believe he shoved ISIS up our dirty assholes.
I'm pretty sure he did say that.
Yeah. Or his dirty asshole. I can't remember whose
asshole. Now one of those guys is saying we should do the same thing to Russia. Mm-hmm. So I am also angry and sad. Instead, he doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's world leaders. Roger Wicker is a globalist, except when he sent out an email trying to help Trump find voter fraud.
As long as you don't use him by name, you can use him both ways.
Right. And later, Alex will call him Roger Whitaker.
Sure. Why not?
Strong evidence. He has no idea who people even are.
Doesn't care.
But it's good to know that we're almost past the point of return now, as opposed to a few weeks ago when it was already too late to stop what was coming. It's so pathetically transparent that Alex's mood is the only real determining factor in whether or not it's too late to do something to stop the globalist plans. It's really hard to imagine that his audience hasn't caught on to that by now. Like, how do you not ask yourself why he keeps going back and forth on whether or not it's too late to stop the end of the world?
What do we do? We accept our deaths, or do we fight, or do we fight and accept our deaths, or do we not accept our deaths and then fight?
Well, actually, there is a solution that Alex offers, and I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
Because it might be somewhere in the middle.
All I can tell you is the answer is going to be going and getting very conservative Christian communities in the middle of nowhere where people just dig in and live very austerely and try to stay off the radar. Because once all this falls and once all this goes down, it's guaranteed massive war. And I've really tried to stop this, and we had a chance to back this off years ago. But I just want everybody to know right now that when you look at Klaus Schwab and you look at Bill Gates, these are psychos.
So I have terrible news for Alex about the plan he's got cooking up about setting up, like, Christian cities.
Mm.
It's a complete violation of the Constitution.
Well, there's that.
Particularly the Establishment Clause.
Sure.
I guess if he wanted to just have a weird compound in the middle of the woods or pull a Jim Baker, that would be fine. But at the point where he wanted to establish any infrastructure or, like, incorporate as an actual city, he would be fucked. The First Amendment rules about the state not being involved in the establishment of any religion applies not just to the federal government, but to lower governments as well.
Mm.
Once you're discussing the need to create religiously based communities, you pretty much have given up any right to care about the Constitution ever again. Alex can say that he wants to talk a bunch of shit and he loves guns, but it's tough to respect those arguments being based in any reverence for the Constitution if these are his solutions to problems.
Yeah. Aren't there like militia cities in Idaho, but even they in their like charters.
But they're not cities.
Right, but they can't like incorporate as a city and be like, we're a Christian city. You cannot do that.
Yeah, there is a, I believe it's called like Christian city or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
What it is just like a campus. They have to refer to themselves as a campus that has like a hospital.
Yeah.
And
you can't get like tax money from the government if you're incorporated as a city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That won't work.
But maybe that's not what he wants anyway. Maybe he does just want to have like a compound.
Sure.
And that's healthy.
Yeah, that's great. No, yeah. Everybody in history who's wanted a compound has been a good person.
And it's usually worked.
Yeah. You know,
especially people who have compounds where it's like, all right, the premise of this compound is that the rest of the world is fucked.
Yeah.
This is the only place we're safe. So also, this is a fun fact. Alex is talking about like Klaus Schwab being this evil psychotic.
So evil.
You know, Klaus Schwab is like a relevant figure for a lot of history. You know, like he's created the World Economic Forum.
He was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I can find no evidence that InfoWars ever posted an article containing the name Klaus Schwab until November 16th, 2020.
Ooh, that's not good.
No.
For somebody who's been right about everything to not even know the major player in his extinction game, that seems odd.
Yeah, it seems like that name of that villain did not pop up.
If you're right about everything 20 years later, but you didn't even know the name of the guy, that's kind of weak tea.
Yeah, yeah.
Weak tea.
It's at least suspicious.
Yeah. Eh. And it's not like it's Blofeld who is hiding himself from everything. He made the World Economic Forum.
It's true.
Yeah.
So Alex, you know, whenever he brags, he likes to say that he's not bragging. And here's an instance of him not bragging about how he's woken up really important people
in
the world.
He's not bragging.
First off, though, I just want to tell the listeners, and I don't say this to brag. I say this so you have some hope.
Brag incoming.
So I have some hope because I can't just sit here and cover the negative stuff. I should also cover the positive. We have come so far together in this fight, and we've been so effective, all of us as a family, the listeners, the viewers, the crew, myself, the guest, the callers. I mean, we're one family. We are. We are the resistance. That's why they hate us. That's why they hate the fact we're on air, because this is our culture. This is who we are. And they want us all alone, not realizing that we're not alone. They want us cut off from each other. That's very simple, but very powerful. And I know you know that. But I got to tell you, I could go down the list of everybody fighting New World Order right now who get more hardcore by the day. And almost every one of them personally told me that I woke them up and that they wouldn't be awake or have understood this if I hadn't been there, that they thought I was crazy 20-something years ago, 10 years ago.
So, Alex, from other surrounding contexts, he's talking about Tucker Carlson and Glenn Beck.
Right, right, right.
And he's totally not bragging when he's bragging about how those dudes say he woke them up. And that's great. I mean, Tucker is a shitty opportunist who found ridiculous ratings leaning hard into Trump extremism. And he's just following that thread out as far as he can. As soon as he needs to get into self-preservation mode, he'll mysteriously end up finding someone else to wake him up to something else, like maybe helping him rediscover his neoconservative roots.
Right.
As for Glenn Beck, this is really just more of a desperation thing. Legitimately, nobody respects Glenn Beck anymore, and he's got no place in the market. He's laughable to serious media, and he's been way too weak for the extremist media, so he's essentially a con man without a country. He's got the Blaze network that he runs, and I'm sure he does fine with that, but he's not even the most relevant host on his very depressing network. He's way less popular than Steven Crowder, and probably even less popular than Dave Rubin, and I would guess that he probably has less of an audience than Gavin McGinnis did, but Glenn had to fire Gavin back in 2018 when he merged with Mark Levin's conservative media platform. So, cool. Really, really into free speech.
I couldn't get out of my head. He's like, we woke up a lot of very important people this year. And in my head, I was like, yeah, you got Zach, Kelly, Lisa, Slater, and Screech. Why am I thinking of Saved by the Bell? The moment he's like, we woke up a lot of people, I'm like, yeah, they got the whole cast of Saved by the Bell.
They got
the college years. They got everybody, man.
Now I'm confused why you were thinking
too.
That.
I don't know.
So it's interesting that Alex is so proud of having waken up these clearly disingenuous media figures, but he never talks about like other people he's woken up. Like Daniel Rodriguez, the guy who was arrested for tasing Officer Mike Fanone during the storming of the Capitol on January 6th. The FBI released a transcript of an interview with him, and in the conversation, he's asked about how, you know, prior to January 6th, he'd been at a Back the Blue rally, and he stood up for the cops. And then, on the 6th, there he was, assaulting a cop. The agent who was doing the interview is asking him what had happened. Quote, so how did the Danny that stood on the line in between law enforcement and Antifa and BLM, how did you get to that point? What happened in your life? Like, how did you start going to these rallies? Danny responds, InfoWars. InfoWars, so like Alex Jones stuff, the agent replies, and Danny nods. Later in the interview, Danny says, quote, I've been following InfoWars for, you know, 2008, 2009, maybe. He's the one. Alex Jones and InfoWars were the ones who kind of put it out there, you know, that there's other news that's not on TV that they don't want you to know, you know? They don't tell you a lot of things. So it was just information is what it is. I was trying to find the truth and answers. And when I thought I found the truth and answers, I thought it was up to me to, I don't know, I just, it's like when, like, there's a saying, like, to know better is knowing better. To know better is to do better, you know? Because they really are, they were killing Trump supporters, shooting them in the head and beating them up in the school and public, everything, right? So I kept thinking that we were going to go to like a civil war and it's going to go hot and we're just, it's going to go, you know, I don't know. Nobody knew. So we just thought it was going to, we were preparing to save the country. We thought we were saving the country. I thought I was going to help save the country. Danny had decided to consider himself a 3%er also, which is something that he told the agents that he had learned about from InfoWars. In the interview, Danny tries to downplay his desire to do violent shit at the Capitol, which is great. But unfortunately, at the end of November, he got hit with some new charges involving a conspiracy to commit violence.
Well, there's that.
It turns out he was on a Telegram channel that he and his friends had created titled Patriots 45, where he and these friends wrote fairly openly about their violent plans. One of his buddies wrote, quote, we need to violently remove traitors, and if they're in key positions, rapidly replace them with able-bodied patriots. Danny wrote, about a week before January 6th, quote, Congress can hang. I'll do it. Please let us get these people, dear God. He told a person who wasn't named in the indictment, but whose identity is known to the grand jury, that he would assassinate Joe Biden if he got the chance. On January 5th, Danny posted in the group, quote, there will be blood. Welcome to the revolution. The indictment alleges that in preparation for the 6th, the group began, quote, collecting weapons and tactical gear to bring to Washington, D.C., including a taser, pepper spray, a baseball bat, gas masks, and walkie-talkies. In contrast to how sad and confused he appeared in the FBI interview, immediately after leaving the Capitol, Danny messaged his group chat and said, quote, OMG, I did so much fucking shit right now and got away. Tell you later. Tased with a bunch of Z's the fuck out of the blue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fun. Interestingly, we also learned from the indictment that on January 8th, one of Danny's co-conspirators, a guy named Edward Balladin, called into Owen Schroyer's show and filled InfoWars in on what they'd done. And they blamed the violence on Trump supporters that they had just decided were Antifa pretending to be Trump supporters.
Sure, why not? Yeah.
Tucker and Glenn Beck are shameless con men telling Alex what he wants to hear because it suits the current state of their grift. They don't even know what Alex is actually promoting or preaching over the years. It's just popular in their worlds to pretend that Alex is wise and has a point at this time. Like, at this moment, that's popular in their grift.
Yeah, he'll be.
It's all pretend.
He'll be tossed aside the moment that's convenient.
Mm-hmm. People like Danny Rodriguez are the real people Alex wakes up. They get sucked in by Alex's extreme and very immediate rhetoric, and they reach the natural conclusion of what Alex presents. There are demons in the White House. Trump won the election, but the demons stole it. The only way to save the country is to come to D.C. and fight for Trump. They lash out and brag to their friends about how they tasered a cop when the coast looks clear. They call into the war room in the next days to help InfoWars establish the false flag Antifa provocateur narrative, even though they themselves know it's bullshit and that they had planned to do exactly what they did and they enjoyed it when it was happening. Then they cry about how they're actually a good person once they have to answer for their actions and they get arrested.
I didn't know I was going to face consequences.
Uh-oh.
Now this doesn't feel as good as it did when I was hurting people.
I'm going to take a break from crying to make sure you don't know about my Telegram channel.
Hold on one second. So you're saying that if I hurt somebody, then it's possible that I will then have consequences. This is completely new to me in the United States.
These fucking dicks.
Yep.
But, like, Alex wakes up a lot of people into just being scared and buying useless pills. That is definitely true. But a very small subset of the people he wakes up are Danny's. And he knows damn well about that dynamic. And that's his legacy, as far as I'm concerned. Tucker and Glenn Beck don't matter.
You know, what's so weird is that nothing, like, Alex's effect on people reminds me of like a fucking Firefly in Serenity. Like the way that
you're
they
gonna
created,
have to help me with that.
Yeah, sorry. The Firefly show was with Nathan Fillion.
I know what it is. I just
sure,
don't know what
sure.
you mean.
Apologies.
Yeah, yeah.
So they created this this whole thing, the Pax, right? And it makes everybody pacified.
Mm-hmm.
But what they wound up creating is something that made people so pacified that they just wound up not living. They just gave up, you know,
sure.
and died where they stood.
Mm.
But a rough 10% of that population went the exact other way and got so violent and vicious and awful that they're now the terrors of the universe or whatever.
Mm.
And I just keep thinking of, like, if you're an InfoWars listener, most of them are just sitting there like afraid, shaking, buying shit.
Or maybe posting, you know?
Or maybe posting, yes. Yeah, yeah,
getting
yeah.
on Facebook and
Absolutely.
Posting memes and stuff.
Right. But then there's that fucking 10% that's just vicious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's metaphorically 10%. Who knows
yeah.
what the actual
Who
number
knows?
Is.
Right, right, right.
But yeah, there is a subset that goes on, they embark on a journey that leads to really fucked up stuff, like
yeah.
tasering a cop at the Capitol and planning to do stuff like
God.
That. And then the other part that I find really disgraceful is the way in which immediately afterwards you call into InfoWars to try and help build up the narrative that you didn't do what you know
yeah.
that you did.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And yeah, there is that percentage, and it's real. It's
just amazing.
Yeah.
How were you the guy at the Back the Blue event, and then the guy who hurt a cop? That doesn't make sense. Psst, because this is about race, not about cops, buddy. Buddy, this is about race.
I well, at least the sport of Back the Blue was.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's. You know what? When, sometimes when things get a little bit like that, where, you know, sometimes you need a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
This next clip is not that.
Oh, it's no. Actually, I was hoping he was going to sing.
No. It's kind of like when you need, like, you'd like something to cleanse the palate.
Sure.
And instead, you get a different flavor.
Right.
But
right,
it's
right.
gross.
It's the worst jelly beans you can imagine.
It's like a very aggressive mustard jelly bean
or
something.
Right.
This is not a palate cleanser.
Oh, boy.
I was sitting there having breakfast with my 4-year-old daughter this morning. And I'm sitting down the table from her. And we're sitting there eating eggs and bacon. And I told her, I sure love you, sweetheart. And I said, show daddy your will.
Gah!
And I haven't even really had to explain this to her what it is. And she
what?
Just goes. Never even done that to my daughter, but she just, that's because that's my mind, was it was like a mind meld. Show me your will, sweetheart. And she went, I was just the most beautiful thing I ever saw. A powerful will. Oh.
Oh, man. Oh, man. You have your hand on your Woo! Forehead.
That's just, I look, I'm not going to be a parent,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't read many parenting books.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go with that one's not in there.
Dr. Spock's book was mostly about, show me your will.
Show me your will. You know how his,
make creepy devil noises at me.
Excuse me, daughter, you know the sounds that my theoretical demons make when they see me? Make those towards me on purpose because it means you're good.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, and that does tend to imply that stuff that he does on his show bleeds into his personal life.
Oh, yeah.
If his daughter is aware on some level of making weird demon noises,
yeah.
then he must do that at home.
If you just say, hey, show me something, and they make demon noises, you're like, well, this one might be on me.
Yeah.
I don't think the kid learned that one on their own.
Where did you learn that? At school?
No, I learned it from watching you!
All right. So anyway, the enemy hates Alex because he's beautiful.
We will beat this, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they try to poison us and dumb us down and control us. And it's because they know we're beautiful. They know we love God. They know that we didn't sign on to Satan, and they want to kill us. I don't care if you got beautiful black skin or beautiful white skin or beautiful brown skin. You all got red blood and God made you. And if you love God, the devil hates you. They love death. They love destruction. So I'm going to go to break, longer segment, next segment. But I'm just going to talk about this. The fact that you've kept us on air is so incredible. And I want you to take stock in your will that God gave you to exercise. And that you've exercised your will against the enemy. And that I want to salute and thank all of you. And thank all of you that went and got the 1776 coin yesterday. That again, if we could take it off air,
then there won't be all these great new projects that are getting launched. But thanks to your support, there will be.
So Alex is now selling a silver coin.
Yeah.
He's pretending it's some kind of a war bond for the show.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That would seem to imply that he would be willing to buy all of them back at a certain point.
Ooh.
But I'm guessing that's not part of the plan.
I wouldn't think too much about that.
So this makes sense. Alex is probably just marketing someone else's coins and making a cut. But there's one really interesting thing that I found in the fine print. Quote, due to current restrictions, this custom round is not available for sale to the state of Minnesota. That's really weird. But it has nothing to do with Ted Anderson living in Minnesota.
Huh.
It's got to be a coincidence.
It's almost like if Ted Anderson was involved, then the only state that he wouldn't be allowed to sell this in would be that state.
I don't know if he's actually involved, and I honestly think it could be a coincidence, and there's some sort of a weird law that they...
Minnesota's just like, fuck gold sales
Ted Anderson does live in Minnesota.
There is that.
And he did lose his license to sell bullion because of defrauding people.
It's a coincidence.
Probably. Also, this coin costs $129 and is 1 troy ounce of silver. In the past 30 years, the highest an ounce of silver has ever been worth is $42.88 back in April 2011, and the price is currently around $22.29. This is a heroic level of fleecing Alex is trying to pull off.
That one's serious.
On eBay, you can find a 3 troy ounce silver tiki head for $25 less than Alex's dumb coin.
Ooh.
For $31, you can get a 1 ounce silver coin with Snoopy from Peanuts doing a dance on it.
Yeah, but you know, he's never overthrown a kingdom.
He defeated the Red Baron.
That's true. But that Red Baron wasn't a monarch.
For $47, you can get a 1 ounce silver coin with Joe Camel on it from 1913.
Well, I'm going to need that one.
Yeah.
That one's kind of important.
I was very close.
That's a serious coin. I've never suddenly wanted a coin.
Yeah. Joe Cool.
Every time I've seen a coin, I've been like, that's stupid. These are scams. I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Joe Cool, 1913, I want it.
There's a silver Cthulhu coin, too. And on the backside of it is weirdly Queen Elizabeth.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Is it legal tender?
I mean, it's all silver. It all spends.
Sure.
But yeah, I was very close to buying that Joe Camel one.
Man,
definitely not close to buying Alex's dumb war bond.
No.
So he actually does address the fact that this is a ridiculous markup.
And people go there and it's like, wait a minute, silver, you know, it costs us $36 to make these coins and put them in the packaging, all the rest of it. Why are you selling it for $129? Well, exactly what I said. It's like a bond. You're getting a coin, a memento of the resistance. It says founder with George Washington slaying the dragon, an archetype of King George slaying the dragon that was doing what? Eating the children, the spirit of Satan, the pedophile. It's the founder of our country, the archetype of the founder of England, killing the dragon, ladies and gentlemen, which is an archetype of Christ or his archangel, St. Michael. And that's what this is, ladies and gentlemen, is that same reaping. You think there's just an Antichrist spirit? There's a Christ spirit in the world as well, and it repeats over and over again.
What?
And so it's a powerful coin. It says, faithfully resisting in Latin on the back, or always resisting. And on the front, always thus to tyrants. In Latin.
I don't even want to try and unpack the idea that George Washington was somehow like an avatar of the Christ spirit or whatever. Like, and how that kind of implies that Alex was trying to say that Trump was like an avatar of Jesus.
I guess.
Right? I mean, like, if the Christ spirit exists like over and over again in the same way that like there's an Antichrist.
Right.
Then that would, I mean, it seems to, he treated Trump like he thought he was a reincarnation of Jesus.
True.
That's maybe a little sacrilegious.
Would you want John Wilkes Booth's last words to be on your coin?
Yeah, that history is a little bit iffy.
That's a little dicey. If it was George Washington slaying Abraham Lincoln as a dragon, that would make more sense in this kind of world.
I mean, Sixth Emperor Tyrannus is something that has existed prior to,
to
John Wilkes Booth.
Of course.
But in terms of American history, that is definitely
the biggest
context that people have for that. It kind of ruined the term.
It really did kind of tied it together with the guy who ended slavery being killed.
Yeah. But I also think that there's like an even more InfoWars adjacent place that expression pops up.
Mm-hmm.
In Timothy McVeigh's famous mugshot after he blew up the Murrah building, he's wearing a shirt that says Sixth Emperor Tyrannus with a picture of Lincoln on it.
Great.
Yep.
Great. Great.
It does feel a little bit like you might be signaling a tiny bit with this coin.
Maybe a tiny bit. Maybe the war of northern aggression is still being fought, I suppose.
So Alex has seen this headline in Vice. And we'll talk about it a little bit on the other side of this. But he's a little bit mad about it.
Aw.
Vice has come out and freaked out about recent wars and said, oh, it's an occultic new age brainwashing hypnotism. They haven't even seen it yet. No, you're the ones been doing the brainwashing and hypnotizing people. This is the opposite of that. This is the latter days of Alex Jones. Oh, my goodness. Keep on wishing. Keep on praying to the devil.
So he's a little bit bent out of shape. He talks about the article a bit, but he never mentions us. Which is, I thought it was a little bit strange.
Sure.
Because he's talking about how they're afraid of reset wars.
Right.
And I was the person who talked to her about reset wars.
Yeah.
Anna Merlin, the writer of the story.
Yeah.
You know, John Ronson and Josh Owens were both also interviewed for the story. But as far as I can tell, I was the only person who was like, hey, look at this crazy nonsense
this
Alex is into.
Weirdo shit that's happening now.
Yeah, he's teamed up with a weirdo hypnotist who tells you can just imagine more money coming to you.
Yeah.
So before I didn't actually read the article when it had come out, just because I get a little bit uncomfortable with like chasing down clippings that have to do with interviews I did.
You're not your own grandma.
Right, right. And so when I heard Alex talking about the Reset Wars stuff, I was like, I can't imagine that John Ronson was talking about Reset Wars.
No, he was not.
I've not heard anybody except us bring this up.
I mean, specifically, John, when we spoke to him, was like, I don't pay attention to him in the present.
Yeah.
For good reason.
And so like, I thought, like, oh, this is a clearly intentional thing. He knows that this article deals with Reset Wars, and he's intentionally not mentioning us, which is... Again, it within the pattern.
Once again.
But I went and I read the article, and you could take away from it that Anna was just bringing up Reset Wars.
Sure, yes.
It could come off that the article itself had information about it and then a comment from
me.
Right. And that's...
That's one way to
It's possible that Alex could have seen this and not recognized that. I think a lot of the like, hey, what's Alex up to? And I got to tell you, he's dealing with this fucking hypnotist. It might not come off that I think that I was obsessively talking about this.
wasn't quite that she was like, can you have some? And you were like, shut the fuck up. It's Reset Wars we got to be talking about right now.
What do you think Alex is up to in his later career?
I'll tell you right fucking now.
It's the most important work of his career, and he's hanging out with a weirdo hypnotist.
That's how you start all conversations now.
Yeah. So anyway, Alex doesn't bring us up. Which is put it up on the board, 0-20.
Yep.
Or whatever.
He's had plenty of opportunities.
Certainly. So Alex likes Glenn Beck now because Glenn Beck is gotten weird. And he went on Tucker's show and said some dumb conspiracy shit.
Oh, fun.
Well, the Gateway Pundit got it right when they put huge in front of the headline. Glenn Beck on Tucker Carlson. U.S. doctors were reviewing Moderna vaccine in December of 2019. Before COVID hit the U.S., and they were calling it COVID-19 in the documents. But if you go back over a year, actually, and then 6 months before, the documents we covered earlier this year, they were creating a whole bunch of chimeric viruses with the SARS virus that fit the description of COVID-19. But imagine months before we hear the name and get the details, they're already running to make the Moderna vaccine for what they cooked up at a lab, all confirmed in the emails. Now,
so Glenn Beck went on Tucker and misrepresented an agreement between Moderna and the NIAID, where they were working on collaborating on a vaccine, not for COVID, but for MERS. I know it's fun for these dum-dums to just see the word coronavirus and assume this must be secret evidence that they were working on COVID vaccines before we knew about COVID. There's other coronaviruses out there. And this isn't even news. Conspiracy theorists tried to push this narrative back in June, and it went nowhere. So I guess now Glenn Beck is just trying to reheat it.
Yeah, take his crack at it. You know, put your own little spin on it. It's like remaking Family Ties.
And can you stop for a second and recognize how lucky we are to live in 2021 when we can see fucking bow tie guy and Mr. Chalkboard get together and try and rehab their images by spouting COVID conspiracies?
How is it possible? How is it possible? I thought we were done with these dicks 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Man.
I thought Glenn Beck apologized with Samantha Bee.
Jesus.
Didn't stick.
No. That happens.
So Alex has some weird analysis here about Russia and his concerns about the nuking isn't going to happen.
That would be a concern.
Yeah.
Hell, even some of the people working this building were over there years ago fighting little green men. So the United States has been brought into this fight for the globalist in Europe to take over Ukraine. But Ukraine, half of it's always been part of Russia. And we've had major wars over this. And so we saw this U.S. Senator, Roger Whitaker, come out and say, everything's on the table, including a preemptive first strike, a sneak attack. So were the Japanese good when they attacked Pearl Harbor with conventional weapons, with bombs and torpedoes? No, it was bad to preemptively attack somebody, right? So, or maybe Senator Roger Whitaker of Mississippi, maybe he can come out and tell us how the Japanese were good.
You think that Pearl Harbor was a false flag?
I was going to say, what is happening? Keep it straight.
Yeah.
Keep your bullshit straight. If you're going to create an expanded universe, at least in Marvel Universe, when they retcon something, they tell you. They're like, hey, wave, hand wave.
Alex also has some really weird ideas about like where borders exist.
Yeah.
You know, and like when... is the time that you should stop recognizing changes to borders.
Yeah, I mean, in his mind, I think the entire continent of Africa was just renamed Rhodesia, so
sure.
I don't know how many borders matter there.
Luxembourg is in Germany still.
Okay. That's arguable.
Yeah. Also, Roger Whitaker again, not his name.
Nope.
And he's talking shit on Fox News.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there are reasons to be like mindful of and watching the situation as it relates to Russia and Ukraine.
Sure.
And the U.S.'s response to it. But I think that everybody knows it's preposterous to say, like, we're going to first strike nuclear attack Russia. I know it would be really fun for Alex and his friends to get back into the Cold War.
Yeah. No,
they miss it.
They really do.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun for them.
Yeah, but I don't think that this is productive.
Mm-mm.
Speaking of unproductive, Alex decides to spend a little time. There's a lot of issues facing the world, obviously. And some of them are end of days stuff.
Which?
Well, you'll never guess.
Okay.
Oh, let's end racism in America. Yeah, that's our big subject. Oh, let's stop sexism. Let's let, the new winner, the top Olympian new woman beating all the women. He was a man. He still has his genitals. But we're going to accept a man. And my point is, like, this is end of day stuff. Like, men are taking over women's sports, and then we pretend like, it's okay to take forced inoculations.
That's end of day
stuff. It's okay to have a man be the woman and win the swimming match or the wrestling match or the weightlifting match or the run. I mean, look at this. Leah Thomas, transgender swimmer from Penn, swims fastest times in nation, is now the top woman swimmer in her times in the world.
I find myself fascinated by the sorts of things Alex considers end of days stuff. I guess trans athletes is evidence of the apocalypse being
and
upon us.
And the third seal will open.
Ridiculous.
And the Olympics will be overtaken.
As for Leah Thomas, the trans swimmer Alex is maligning, she had a really good meet at the recent Zippy Invitational. But I also think that Alex has just read clickbait headlines about this and forgot to actually look into it. It is true that Leah set the, quote, pool and meet record on the 500-meter free during the event, and that her time is currently the best in the country. It is true that she set a couple other pool and meet records in other events, but that's, it's not really accurate to say that she's the best swimmer in the world.
Sure.
For one thing, Alex is just glossing over the fact that at the same meet, Leah finished fifth in the 50-meter free and fourth in the Quaker 400-meter medley relay. She's a swimmer who's good at some events and apparently not as good at others, just like any other athlete. This isn't end of days stuff. It's just another manifestation of Alex's bigotry. To imagine he actually cares at all about women's collegiate swimming. Like, he doesn't even think colleges should exist.
Nope.
Like, what are you doing?
I mean, again, this is like, go back 50 years and he's like, well, I can't believe we're allowing women to play sports. Like, yep. It's the same bullshit. It's just updated. Mm-hmm. I'm bored.
Yep. It is spiritually almost the exact same.
Exactly. It's just infuriating.
Yep. So Alex now makes a deeply, deeply transphobic narrative about this swimmer.
Can't not.
But she can't win. He can't win against the men. But he's stunning and brave. So he's like, hey, I can't get gold medals. I can't make $10 million on a Wheaties box. Well, there he is. There she is. It's all a sick joke.
This is a pretty standard thing for bigots to suggest, because there's a subtle implication baked into that statement that he's making that's inherently transphobic, but it doesn't appear necessarily on the surface. Alex is suggesting that Leah couldn't compete with the men, so she transitioned. This allows Alex to make the claim that her transition was inspired by a desire to swim against people that she could compete with, and he doesn't even have to say those exact words, which would come off as really bad. He can make that basically that claim without actually making it.
Yeah.
That's gross. Essentially, by holding this view, Alex is giving voice to an idea that people's reasons for transitioning are not legitimate, and that people like Leah are only doing it as a shortcut to swimming success. And that's fucked up. It's stupid, and it's based on absolutely nothing other than Alex's hateful imagination. Also, pre-transition, Leah was a really successful swimmer at UPenn. For instance, in 2018, she broke the pool record for the 1,000-meter free, and at that point in the season, was the number 4-ranked swimmer in the Ivy League conference.
Sure.
Before and after transition, Leah has been an elite-level swimmer, but Alex doesn't know any of that stuff. He just makes up offensive storylines that fit his prejudices, and he just reports those as fact. It's kind of what he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty dumb.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guide to reality.
No. I think it is a great conclusion to make that someone would absolutely torture themselves by living in a society that is just angry and miserable and hateful towards you just so you can win a few collegiate meets.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a ludicrous proposition.
No.
And just based on bigotry.
Complete.
Just trying to create some kind of a non-hate-based reason for your hate to exist?
Look, I'm not hatred. I'm not filled with hate towards trans people.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a purist of sport.
I care a lot about women's collegiate sports.
Yeah.
So this is a little sweaty, I think, on Alex's part. He's trying to make this narrative that he has about Leah fit into his other narratives.
Oh, no.
I found this to be a little...
Let's try and shoehorn this in here.
And then if you'll accept big mortgage companies, not just the Chinese government, not the communists doing this, they just follow Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan's move. If they can get you to let a man, I'm having a brain fart. Who's the really famous Olympic swimmer, dark hair, big tall guy, like Michael Phelps is one of like all these gold medals. But see, Michael Phelps is actually the best of everybody. So he doesn't need to say he's a woman.
What?
But the only way Michael Phelps can defeat this guy now is to say he's a woman, and then Michael Phelps, which is going to happen. Not
what?
Michael Phelps himself, but other men will say, well, hell, I've got to... It's kind of like taking down weight. Like, well, Mike Tyson was this weight, but he went down weight, or somebody else did. Now it's going to be like, well, I've already won all the men's championships. I'm going to go down to the women's divisions. I'm a woman. I'm going to go beat them. So a lot of viewers might be asking, yeah, that's a beautiful woman right there. a lot of people might be asking, why am I covering this now? Because on the signpost to hell, on the signpost to collapse, on the signpost to the end of the world is saying a man can compete in women's sports and beat their ass in boxing or in jiu-jitsu or in MMA or in swimming or in track. And then we're all supposed to sit here and go along with that lie. Just like, oh, Israel just announced 7 shots.
So, like, he's trying desperately to swing this into, like, his story about this Chinese property
Evergrande
development.
Yeah.
He's trying to weave that story into this His hatred of Leah.
Right.
And then weave that into his lie story about Israel requiring 7 shots.
Right.
It's like that I said, it's sweaty.
That was a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot of hoops to jump through
yeah.
for diminishing returns at best.
It's very compelling on yeah. my part. I don't believe that any of this is I don't believe that even he thinks that any of this is like materially related in any way.
No, it's I have a hard time believing that Barry Bonds being kept out of the Hall of Fame is going to make him transition so he can get into the Women's Softball Hall of Fame.
I mean, according to Alex,
I don't think that's how it's going to go.
According to Alex, it's, that's where we're at.
That's not how I think. But
so Alex is a guest here at the end of the show.
Uh-huh.
It's a guy by the name of Gal Shalev.
Okay,
he's been kicked off Twitter,
sure.
or something.
All right, we like to get people on that stand up for the truth and that also just do basic research. So Gal Shalev, I guess about a week and a half ago, linked to the FDA documents. He was smart. He waited. The federal court ordered him to release a little bit of them.
Trash.
And he linked to it. And so he got banned on Twitter because it went viral from there.
Yeah. So he just posted these FDA documents on Twitter and he got banned.
That's all you need to do.
It's not true.
I mean, I assume there was some massive anti-Semitic content somewhere along the line.
No, not necessarily. He was kicked off Twitter because he posted a long thread of misinformation about the FDA documents.
Well, there's that.
There's a bit of difference between just being booted for posting the documents and doing what he did. Having a sincere conversation about them would be one thing, but it's not the situation. He was no. misrepresenting a ton of things from inside the report in the same way that Alex does on his show.
Of course.
So look, you know, Gal got these docs mm-hmm. from someone else on Twitter. Someone else with a smaller following.
Sure.
He read these and they turned his stomach.
Go for fuck's
They were
sake.
Just horrified.
Go away.
Yeah, look, I mean, I have a follower on Facebook that tagged me to his little post, and he doesn't have that much of a following. So I had a read. My stomach dropped. I said, I have to tweet this out. And within a couple of hours, it blew up. Listen, those documents are pretty scary. And I've asked a lot of doctors. I've asked a lot of scientists to kind of give their thought on it. Nobody wants to answer anything. Nobody wants to talk about it.
Well, that's self-selected. The group of doctors you are talking to.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I can find doctors and scientists discussing this pretty easily.
Sure, but he avoided those.
Mm-hmm.
Those might cause problems.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that there is a conspiracy among scientists about these documents.
I don't appreciate the
They're
level
not threatening.
The level of heroic myth making it seems he's put into. I just read these documents and I realized I had to tweet this out.
Right.
Like he's a fucking
damn the torpedoes.
Oh man, I'm willing to sacrifice everything.
Yep.
A Twitter account.
Yeah. So he also makes another claim here that I don't think is, first of all, I don't think it's true. And I also don't think he's provided any evidence of this. I think it's just conjecture.
Sure.
And that is that initially doctors were reporting things to like VAERS.
Sure.
And to the Pfizer adverse events reporting.
Initially.
Right.
Right.
But now they're being threatened.
By whom?
I don't know. He doesn't say.
Okay. Well, that's an issue.
Let's remember at the beginning, It was still pretty open for doctors to speak out or to give a call to Pfizer or to the VAERS data, and they weren't threatened about it. Today they're being threatened about it. Like they can't tell a patient that it's from the vaccine. They do that, they get fired.
What?
Says who?
Look, even if you are an evil entity like who's like trying to kill people with the vaccines and stuff, it's still in your best interest to gather that data.
Oh yeah,
you still have to put one.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have to also have control over reality in order to.
Some things are kind of unpredictable.
Exactly,
and you need to know how people are responding.
Right,
to things.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't believe the doctors are being threatened or fired. But if they report adverse events,
you would want
silly.
I mean, even if you were evil, you would still want the reporting of the opposite, of people who survived it.
Sure. I think that if you were able to produce proof of this, I'd maybe respond to it differently, but I think I think it's a joke because he's talking shit.
I want to know who's threatening whom.
Right. That would be nice.
Yeah.
But also there's other things that he's just deciding without proof. Namely, like in this next clip, he's decided that every single thing that's in that report is been proven to have been caused by the vaccine.
Sure.
And they got 42,000 complaints. Many of them were pretty bad. So pretty serious side effects. And as you saw, it's 1,223 of them were deaths. So if you look at the, if you quantitate that, like it's 1 in 35 side effects reported to Pfizer was a death. 1 in 35.
Wow.
That's insane.
Just unprecedented.
So saying that they're side effects,
sure,
is a little bit loaded. That's the, yeah, the implication, and throughout the entire conversation, is that all of this is caused by,
sure,
vaccine.
Sure, sure, sure.
And that's just not founded. And when you have the conversation being had on that ground,
right,
in those terms, it's a pointless conversation.
Yeah.
It's just dumb.
You're not
going to get to truth from falsity.
No, that's not how it works. Uh-uh. Also, 42,000 is fucking nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, comparatively speaking, 42,000 is not even one-tenth of the people watching CNN.
Right. I mean, look, just to give some kind of pushback on that, this is only up to the 28th of February, 2021.
Ah.
So at least it's data that only covers a couple months of vaccine information.
Sure.
So, I mean, granted, I still agree with you.
Sure,
it's
sure,
a low
sure.
number compared to the total number of vaccines administered.
Right.
But it's not as low of a number as it would be
theoretically.
Like, well, compared to what our
right,
present.
Right, 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 right. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes.
Yeah.
So look, Alex really, this guy lives in Israel. And so Alex really wants to know, like,
what's up?
Why do the globalists and all these bad guys really want to stick it to Israel? This clip isn't good.
To bring the end times about,
This clip is not good.
What is going on with these foundations? Like, why do the big foundations and the big money have the biggest heart on to attack people in Israel? Because, I mean, it's
Family
pretty
show.
Obvious.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's all over the world. We can't really say it's just in Israel. It's just Israel is like the spearheaded, like it's the spearhead. So, like, we were the first to vaccinate people. We were the first to vaccinate pregnant women. We were the first to vaccinate kids. But I mean, it's happening everywhere else. I can't say.
No, you're right. It's
Israel.
Happening everywhere. But it is interesting that it's like particularly Israel.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even try and imagine. I mean, look, if we want to get down deep the rabbit hole, I mean, all the major positions in the CDC, in Pfizer,
don't.
And all these other companies, all these companies that are pushing this, all the politics, they're all Jewish. So I mean, I'm not gonna say the craziest things, but I'm just saying, like, it's pretty weird to see that all these people are Jewish and they're doing this to the Jewish state. So there's a massive plan here, and you know it. I mean, Alex, you've been talking about it for you know, two decades at least. And
yeah, I'll stay there. We're right back, my friend. Stay with
us. Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic.
Oh boy.
Listen, I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole. I mean, you know, you don't want to do this, but it is obviously a conspiracy of the Jewish people to destroy the Jewish state. Obviously. I'm not saying that, but Alex, you've been saying that for 20 years. So, I mean, you know that it's a conspiracy of Jewish people to destroy the Jewish state. Everybody knows this. I'm not saying anything weird, but if you want to get down the rabbit hole, all entertainment and all government is controlled by the Jews. That's all I'm trying to say.
I understand that this guy got kicked off Twitter, and he is a big-time guest. Yeah. I understand that.
Huge.
It's a get.
Hey.
He got kicked off Twitter.
He got kicked off Twitter, and
right.
Somebody somewhere knew about him.
Great.
Sure.
That said,
right.
After that,
yes,
I might have faked phone issues.
Bye!
Yeah.
I wouldn't have faked them. I'd have been like, nope.
Alex doesn't want to piss off the anti-Semites in his audience,
you
wouldn't want to be that blunt.
No, 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 of course
but,
not.
But, you know, fake some Skype issues.
Something.
He has tech issues all the time.
It's a problem.
You don't want
to Listen,
keep...
I'm not mad at the crew for stopping this man from continuing to say that there's a Jewish conspiracy to destroy the Jewish
And
game.
Heavily indicating that it's common knowledge that I've been reporting essentially that for 20
Listen,
years.
Listen, all I've been trying to say is that it's the globalists. Come on, guys.
Yeah. So anyway, he doesn't do that.
Nope.
And when Gal gets back, he's lamenting the end of truth. And that's great.
Sure.
Except for he's doing it in response to a question that Alex asks him that's based on a false premise, which is kind of ironic.
How are Israelis, that's the epicenter, responding to hearing you're going to have seven shots, they're now saying? I mean, this is ridiculous. And they admit it doesn't protect you. So it's like, oh, you're not vaccinated, that's why I'm sick. You need to take the shot, and I need more shots. It just, there's no logic there.
Yeah. It's logic is definitely out the window in 2020 and 2021. Like, there's literally no logic. There's no truth anymore.
Yeah, there's no truth anymore. You asked me a question that's a lie.
Yeah. How do you feel about the plague of Pegasi absolutely destroying every airline?
There's no truth anymore.
I know. It's 2021, and we're still getting...
No one talks about the Pegasi out there.
It's not even happening!
it's like the mainstream media is in invested in big Pegasi.
It's the corporations who want to prop up the Pegasi narrative.
I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you've looked into it, but a lot of the people in major positions in the media are Pegasi. Boo.
Yeah.
So one of the things that this caller is presenting as the major plan that the globalists have is not so much even about the vaccine, but the vaccine is a tool in order to get people to be tracked with green passes. Social credit score.
Fine.
Which kind of runs counter to the entire idea that it's meant to kill you, because why would they need the cards tracking dead people? Who cares?
Yeah.
Anyway, the big plan, is, according to Gal, is this tracking. And once they are able to track you, they can turn off your stuff at any minute.
Sure.
And then he realizes that this is exactly like a documentary that Alex did in the past.
Oh, my God.
They can't come up with the name of the guy that they interviewed.
Of course not.
And once everything is digital and they have this green passport, and, you know, I think it was you speaking to Mr. Ross. I think it was Ross, the director of the American movie. It was a long time ago you interviewed. He said all you have to do is hit a button. And then your life is gone. Like, they take away your life by pressing a button, and they take away your
bank
account.
Oh, yeah, that's the plan. Well, that's what the Rockefellers told
what's his name?
He made America freedom to fascism.
Yeah, exactly. No, okay, it'll come.
We can't remember a name. We can't remember it. What's a good friend of mine? I know him so well. It'll pop up my name. Who made America freedom to fascism, guys?
Passed away from
cancer.
I think it was.
Yeah. I can't remember. Keep going. I'll find the name.
Something Ross. Anyways.
The whole time I was just like, Aaron Russo. It was Aaron Russo.
Yep.
His name's Aaron Russo. Yep. Come on, guys. Alex, you're good friends with him.
Yeah.
He revealed all this secret information. You can't even remember his name. You don't remember his name because it's not really that important.
Yeah, you know.
And you know it's bullshit.
I mean, if you reveal earth-shattering information, I feel like I would remember your name.
Yep. So also, let's just be totally clear. The Rockefellers didn't reveal shit to Aaron Russo. If you don't remember, he was talking to a guy named Nicholas Rockefeller, who is not related to the Rockefellers.
Right.
Who was kind of a con man type
guy. Was that.
Yeah. And he presented it. Aaron presented it as if he was in the Rockefeller family and all this. But that was not the case.
No, it was just a guy.
Just a guy whose last name was Rockefeller.
Just a guy.
Yep.
Just a regular old guy with the last name Rockefeller.
Yep.
No big deal.
But these dum-dums don't even know that. You know, and that's one of the things that I really take offense to is that, like, Alex introduced Gal by being like this person on Twitter who's like just a good researcher.
Totally.
Just in charge of the information and such. And then, like, you didn't take the time to ask yourself, like, did Aaron Russo really talk to one of the Rockefellers? Like, is this real?
Well, I mean, it's been my experience that every human being with the last name Holmes has been related to me. So
H-H?
I assume, yeah, absolutely.
James?
Why not?
Mm-hmm. You got some bad family members.
The best ones. Yeah.
Elizabeth?
I got all the good ones. Oh, man. Theranos? Thera, yes.
Not good. Jordan, your family sucks.
Yep.
And by the way, speaking of the like people who are just bad researchers who are involved with InfoWars, I wanted to cover this, but I just don't even care. In one of the fourth hours of his show, Alex had Jay Dyer filling in, and his entire segment was about silent weapons for quiet wars.
Great.
And I was like, man, this is just a fake document.
That's crazy.
You're doing an hour about how silent weapons for quiet wars relates to the COVID conspiracy, and like, You didn't care to ask yourself, is this real?
No,
you just assume it's real.
Nope.
Because it helps you build this fun conspiracy worldview. Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great work, Jay.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah. I love it.
Oh, boy.
I think people just like the name Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
It is a great title. It's a fun name. It's a great title. Yeah. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue that.
It's fake, but it's a great name.
There is that problem.
So we have one last clip here, and this is where things get a little bit scary, and I do not like what's going on anymore.
And I'll tell you more. I've even tried to get advice from lawyers and people who know the law, and I'm like, look, at what point do the citizens have the right to take the law into their own hands? Not to do anything that's, you know, violent, but when am I allowed to arrest a judge that is not upholding the law? When am I allowed to arrest the captain of the police station that is not upholding the law? Right? When is it our right to take back the law into our hands because nobody's, you know, putting justice to work?
And we know when you have the right, when you have nothing left to lose.
Holy shit.
You got nothing left to lose.
That is a bad answer. And you know what? I bet someone who probably agreed with that was Danny Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Probably agreed quite a bit with that. That you have the right at a certain point to take the law into your own hands. And, you know, maybe when you have nothing left to lose.
I would say a lot of terrorists start from when you have nothing left to lose.
And you know what's interesting about people like this that Alex has said? They feel like they have nothing left to lose. And maybe they do something like tase a cop at the Capitol.
And all of a sudden they find out they have so much to lose.
So much to lose.
I didn't know I could lose anything. It turns out I have a bank account that they can just not have me anymore.
It turns out I was pretending to have nothing to lose.
Ooh, no. I have a nice home and a family. That's not good.
Oh, no. Maybe it's these shitty media sources that I was ingesting constantly had convinced me that I had nothing to lose when in reality... Quite a bit to lose.
Weird
also,
how that works.
Also, fuck you about the not violent thing. How do you think it's going to go if you try to arrest the chief of police? You think
when can I peacefully and when? And here's the other question, because I feel like this is the subtext to what he's saying. When will the police chief recognize that I should be allowed to arrest him as well? When will the police chief be like,
When will the police chief submit to my citizen's arrest?
Yes, that's kind of the subtext there. When will they realize, I'm obviously on the wrong side, so I'll just put my hands gently behind my back so that this motherfucker can walk up and say that you're a bad judge.
Oh, maybe when you create overwhelming force that the police can't stand up to. I guess maybe, but that's still implicitly violent.
Sir, I'm not sure you understand about the violence of the state.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
These guys are really stupid. Their conversation's dumb. I guess his relevance is that he was kicked off Twitter, so what did I expect? But, you know, dangerous mentality. Both the, all these people who are doing this are Jewish.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah.
And then the when is it time to take things into your own hands when you have nothing left to lose? I mean, I think that probably sounds great in like a movie trailer or something, but not good on InfoWars.
At what point does the entirety of humanity go, the people telling us we have nothing left to lose are millionaires?
Oh.
I don't think they have my...
The guy who's telling me, like, hey, maybe you have nothing left to lose, is selling me a silver coin at a ridiculous markup.
The guy who's telling me that I have nothing left to lose is fully aware that I am losing everything because he's part of why I'm losing it.
He's also working with a con man hypnotist.
Jesus Christ.
Great. Great stuff.
Good work, everybody.
So we've reached the end of this, and... I mean, who knows? We'll be back, but until then, Jordan, we have a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.